I'd like to call the Transportation and Finance Conference Committee to order. And one of the reasons perhaps we look like we aren't moving too fast is we still don't have a target. Not that we have that kind of a target in the first place, but a lot of the actions that we'll take rely on a target basically so we can put the things together. So what we anticipate doing today is picking up some of the loose ends where we had a disagreement, not a disagreement, but we didn't have agreement between the House or Senate language. So we'll just review those. And Mr. Burris, you all have a handout which is on. We'll go down that handout. Mr. Burris, you want to start?
Mr. Chair and members, the handout is a legal size single sheet of paper entitled Transportation Finance Conference Committee Discussion Items, May 1st, 2007. And there's some numbers on the left-hand column that gives you a key into where we're at. Item number one is on page R22, and this is an appropriation to finance for tort claims. The House and the Senate have the same appropriation amount, and the differences between the House and the Senate are technical.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Murphy?
Mr. Chairman, if it's appropriate, I'd like to make a motion for that. Get it off the table, if that's...
Fine, that's...
Okay, Mr. Chairman, talking with Ms. Burzowski, the technical differences here are minute, and it wouldn't really matter if we took the House or the Senate language. Monies are all the same. So I would move the Senate language on 16.26 through 16.32.
Senator Murphy moved the House language. Yeah, I think you said House.
I said Senate language.
Or Senate language.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I tried it. But anyhow, basically they're the same. Are there any discussions or questions that we're going to understand where it's at? Again, there's no money involved. It's strictly technical language. No discussion or questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion's approved. Senate language approved, and that's it. First.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair and members, item number two is the wheelage tax.
Members, we had two issues with the wheelage tax. One of them dealt with the amount of the wheelage tax, and the other one with the exemption of vehicles over $26,000. And we'd like to resolve that issue. And we're open for discussion or a motion in any direction.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and members, I mean, we had a pretty good discussion about this the other day. You know, the Senate still has some heartburn over exempting the trucks, but it appears that unless the exemption is in there, the wheelage tax is probably going to die because it looks like the House has kind of bowed their neck a little on that one and trying to hold their ground. I don't blame you. I do the same thing, except that, you know, in the overall course of things, the wheelage tax is probably one of the smaller items on our list. I know the counties have a lot of heartburn about exempting these trucks because they feel that the trucks, and we know this is, you know, it's pretty scientific evidence that one truck equals about a kabillion passenger vehicles. Maybe a little less than a kabillion, but pretty close. But we would like to get this off the table. And what I would propose, Mr. Chairman, is we go ahead with the House language, but we do need to add that... add the amendment in there to take care of Mr. Tilley's concerns in regards to the mopeds. So I don't think that it's... I agree with Mr. Tilley that mopeds is probably... they're not doing any damage on the roads. So, Mr. Chairman, I would do that. I would move the House language and direct staff to make it very clear that that mopeds are exempt.
Senator Murphy moved the House language with the exemption for mopeds. We'd have to draft that amendment. Is discussion from the members? the holder.
Mr. Chairman, I renew my motion.
Any discussion from the members? Senator Murphy, restate that motion again so they have it clear.
I would move the House language in regards to the wheelage tax changes, which includes that exemption for the trucks over 26,000 pounds, with the caveat that direct staff to make it very clear that mopeds are not in this. They are exempt.
Any discussion? Questions? Senator Steven.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Murphy, so just to be clear, does the exemption apply to trucks all over the state or just outside the Seven County Metro?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Steven, this is a statewide wheelage tax, so that exemption would be statewide.
In those counties that have a wheelage tax. Further discussion? Looks like everybody's ready for the question. All in favor say aye.
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 Contrary? The motion's passed. The next item, Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, item number three on the list is the county stated highway allocation formula.
Mr. Burris, just are you going to explain it further?
Mr. Chair, I hope not.
Oh. Let's see.
But I can if you want.
Let's see, we could check. That's on R45. The issue we had dealt with what we discussed as referred to as old language and new language. I believe that was the issue. And when we discussed it previously, the way one of the, either the Senate or the House language, it could imply that there was a flat amount on the old language. And it appeared from the discussion we had that that was a concern and that perhaps it should be a percentage. Representative Portman.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move the House language in this area. I had originally preferred the Senate language because it was more advantageous to metro counties, but I understand the deal among the counties and peace in the valley is with the percentage rather than the flat amount, so I would move the House language at R45 from lines 28.8 to 28.25.
Representative Hortman, you are moving the House language on lines 28.8 to 28.25?
On page R45.
Beg your pardon?
On page R45.
That's correct.
Is it 46?
It's R46.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, those changes are actually on R46. So, even though it says
45, right?
Mr. Chair, there are several sections and provisions within this, which is why the page numbers might throw you off. This covers several pages.
The motion by Representative Hortman deals specifically with the percentage on the old, what we refer to as the old formula. Is that correct, Representative Hortman?
That's correct.
Any discussion? Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone understand?
Well, Mr. Chairman, just to make it easier, and Representative Portman, we had, had this long discussion yesterday, and I think that the Senate is willing to take the House language on those on the CASA changes on R45, R47. All three of those under number three.
Yes.
And I believe that's what we talked about with our conferees was to adopt that because, you know, some of it is beneficial, more beneficial to greater Minnesota than the metropolitan area, and then another one is vice versa. So it kind of keeps balance if we just adopt the House provisions on those three issues.
Senator.
And if we just take them in one motion,
sure.
That would be
so
okay.
Representative Hortman, do you want to include all that in one motion?
That's right, Representative Leader. I think Senator Murphy's correct. The best way to do it is all of the items listed in number three on the sheet that we're all working off So it would be lines 28.8 to 28.25, 28.26 to 29.3, and then 24.22 to 28.7, and 29.4 to 29.6, the House language in all those cases.
Thank you, Representative Hortman. Any questions from the members? Sounds okay? So if all in favor of the motion of Representative Hortman, I won't explain it again, which basically takes care of the excess on the county state highway from the, basically, of the, that comes out of the constitutional amendment, those monies. All in favor say aye.
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 Contrary? No? No, I didn't say no. Motion passed. Well.
Mr. Chairman, it'd be a cold day when you start voting against your own house provisions.
The next amendment would be, would that be number, Mr. Burris, number four? Is that the one we're on?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Item number four deals with the Regional Rail Authority and appropriations for rail operations. There are sort of two parts to this. The first part is on page R14, and it is a rider for the Met Council appropriation for rail operations. Both the House and the Senate have the same amount of the appropriation. The House language includes a rider that is similar language to what's been in the past couple of previous appropriations bills for transportation. And what this rider does is require that half of the cost of the Hiawatha Light Rail line be paid by the Met Council and half be paid by Hennepin County. The second piece that is that goes along with this issue is on page R65. And this is a Senate provision that establishes limits for how much a county regional rail authority may contribute towards transit projects. Such projects include light rail transit, bus rapid transit, and commuter rail. And the limits that are placed are up to 10% of the capital costs and no amount of operational costs.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Chairman, if I could defer to Senator Dibble for a couple comments here, but Senator Dibble, is the chair of our transit committee in the Senate, and they did a remarkable job of putting together all this transit stuff. And I think that Senator Dibble was creative, first off. And second, I think he brought in a lot of different groups that hadn't had the appropriate exposure to transit in the past, and brought them along in such a way that it converted them. And, we were all at that meeting down there, I think it was in Burnsville, and, the place was packed. And if it hadn't have been for, and I should say Representative Hornstein too, if it hadn't have been for their efforts, I don't think that we would have gained as much support around the transit component of this bill as we have. And I know that Senator Dibble is adamant about trying to maintain the core of what the Senate has done here, and I really feel that if we adopt anything under these provisions, it should be the Senate language.
Senator Dibble?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would concur with Senator Murphy. All the nice things he said about me, that's what I'm concurring. and Senator Horns. And, just say, everyone on the transit subcommittee on both sides put in a lot of hours and heard from hundreds of people around the metro area in greater Minnesota. This item in particular, just by way of history, everyone on this side of the table has heard me give this speech about a dozen times, but I think most probably over there are familiar with it too. Back when we took the operating transit operating levy off the metropolitan area property tax, we lost all the resources immediately that were were targeted to operate Hiawatha Light. And that was, you know, part of the deal that we had entered into with the federal government to get the full funding grant agreement. And suddenly, you know, that money was gone and wasn't replaced by the general fund dollars. And kind of under the cover of darkness, in the middle of the night, people were talking about doing all of the operating for Hiawatha Light Rail off the Hennepin County property tax, which was, of course, ridiculous on its face. So then, you know, the compromise became a 50-50 share, you know, 50% from Metropolitan Council sources and 50% from Hennepin County Regional Rail Authority, Hennepin County property tax sources. And that's kind of become the de facto. That was never really adopted as a policy or any formal agreements. It just became kind of the de facto, this is how we do rail operations. And now, you know, any local units who band together or singularly, you know, express any interest in rail service in their area is told, you know, you better come up with the operating dollars from your local levy or we're not going to even talk to you. And so it's become kind of this backdoor policy. The simple fact is we just don't run roads that way. You know, we don't run our major mobility, major arterials, our corridors. We just don't run them that way. And so this is an effort to kind of, you know, especially if we're going to be going to all this effort to raise new sources of funds for transit in the metropolitan area. We don't need to do this anymore, and this is probably the way to correct a policy that was ill-conceived and slipped through. And so that's the genesis of this rider language.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could maybe add two things. One, I think that the policy that we're living under today was put into place to discourage transit. Okay, and I think that that's probably the biggest thing. And the other thing is we've been selling our transportation bills, both in the House and the Senate, as being a property tax issue. Because, you know, right now, most townships, about 60% of the property tax goes for roads. And in the city that I live in, about 32 or 33% goes to fixed roads of our property tax. And if we continue to load up things like the operation of the light rail or the rush line or whatever, you know, the property taxpayers, you know, it's been one thing that I think has been across party lines this year is trying to provide property tax relief. The governor's talked about it. You know, I listened to the minority leader over in the House talk about it. So it's one of those issues that goes, you know, across party lines. And I think that if we're going to, you know, be upfront with people, you know, the operations of these transit corridors, I'll call them, should be paid for by the state. I mean, that's why we're, you know, going to raise the sales tax here in the metropolitan area and doing a few other creative things. And if we have the money to pay for it, we ought to, instead of pushing it off on property taxpayers.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I strongly agree with my senator on this. I think Representative Hortman and I both flagged this when we were discussing the bill, upon final passage. And there was a great article in the Pioneer Press. I don't know if people saw it this morning. It speaks to Senator Murphy's point. It discussed the bonding bill and all the new corridors that we're starting to study, particularly in the East Metro. And, you know, this really sets a bad precedent for how we're going to fund that. I think it's policy from a bygone era. I would agree with the Senate position on this.
Mm-hmm. Senator Murphy.
Murphy.
Mm-hmm. I just look at the composition of the committee, and I've been supportive of this, but I think I don't think we really have to vote, do we?
Well, I think that maybe Senator Dibble was going to offer up the Senate language.
Senator Dibble, did you have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the Senate language. I'm just trying to find exactly what I'm moving. So I'm moving. I would like to move the Senate language. So I would move lines 11.34 to 12.2. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator.
Senator Dibble and the line right below that, too.
Yeah, and then, Mr. Chair, I'll move as well the Senate language on our 65, lines 57.12 through 57.23. If I could just add another log on the fire, you know, we're also about to lose the start of federal grant. You know, we get a little bit of money as a federal grant called as part of the congestion mitigation air quality dollars, and we can apply that to transit operating or to Hiawatha operating. Mm-hmm. Special grant, kind of, you know, get people started, prime the pump a little bit. Pump has been fine. We're gonna start pumping dollars out with the sales tax, hopefully. But that grant is drying up. So if we don't do this, then you know we're gonna have to hit the property taxpayers up for even more dollars. Mm-hmm. Because those federal dollars are going away.
Senator Dibble or Representative Hornstein, again, just for the benefit of the members and the audience, perhaps, I know we do have studies that the other corridors proposed, and this would set up not a precedent, but this would also have some, so we don't get caught up in a situation other corridors having to fight, and I think this is a good way to go, because I didn't really think too much of that in the first place. But what are the other corridors, again, that are under consideration? We've got about six of them, aren't they? If you just name them.
Right. Please. Well, the live ones, if you will, are Central Corridor and the North Star Corridor. And, yeah, but, I mean, the ones that are, you know, probably going to receive their full funding grant agreement. Southwest Corridor is entering its next phase of study, mm-hmm. kind of its preliminary engineering phase, or not preliminary engineering, it's next, but it's entering its next phase here. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we've got the Rush Line, the Red Rock Corridor. Help me out.
High-speed rail.
High-speed rail. I-94 is under consideration.
394.
494. 494 loop, yeah. So, we got a lot of folks. I think it's appropriate to do some capital efforts. That's good. You know, that's some of the land acquisition, site preparation, some of the effort towards capital, but this ongoing operating is, you know, but capping that, this ongoing operating doesn't really pit communities against each other.
Mm-hmm. Again, Senator Dibble or any of the senators, I think everything you've got is good, but I was just kind of curious how you established the cap, because I that $10 million cap on capital.
Oh, the 10%, Mr. Chairman?
10% or 10 million.
The 10%, this was part of Senator Dibble's recommendation to the full committee, and we just felt that, with the numbers as big as they are, the local match for that should not be a real big number. It should be something smaller. We have to realize that the vast majority is paid for by the federal government on the capital. I think the state should be the one that kind of has has more interest in this, because and this is just the way I feel about, you know, from being a rural legislator. You know, one, this metropolitan sales tax probably isn't going to hit my constituents much as hard as most of the people that are here from the metropolitan area. It's clearly not going to. But the one thing that I do know, and why I don't oppose state dollars on either for the capital or the operation of these lines, is that transit, whether it's in the metropolitan area or in Pennington County or in Goodhue County, is a statewide issue. And these are built primarily with federal dollars that comes out of everybody's pocket, so everybody should have a little say in the game. But it's a statewide issue. Transit is a statewide issue. There's not a... Well, there are, I think, two counties in the state where the average age actually got a little younger last year, but the rest of us are all getting older, and some of us are getting a lot older, some of the counties out there. And we're going to need these transit services. And as a legislator from Greater Minnesota, I would want the same allowance from the metropolitan legislators when it comes time to build more transit in Greater Minnesota. And, so I just think it's a state issue and we ought to pay for it.
I was letting them build a base for the members of the House. We just thought it would be good to let a base be built in this, because it definitely is going to be an interest in the future, but also it wasn't going to be too easy to move this one, I didn't think. Senator Dibble.
Thanks, but I think we're about to hear from Mr. Shetland, but I think I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, 5.3 and 5.3 doesn't cover the operating for Hiawatha Light Rail, which I know. So I should have looked a little more closely at that number. So maybe we can withhold moving 11.34 to 12.2 for now until we get our targets and figure out what our dollars are going to look like. And just move that policy language, 57.12 through 57.23, the Senate language on page R65.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Representative Earhart had a question.
I guess I did, or if I don't, I'll make one up. What I was wondering, Mr. Chairman, is that as we add these other rail operations, and if this one's not enough, I think the Met Council has the power to levy property taxes, too. They do not.
Mr. Chair.
They do what? We have a gentleman from the Met Council.
Capital, Mr. Chair. Not capital. Not for operating.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Judd Shetton, and I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Metropolitan Council. And the Council does have the ability to levy a property tax. And Senator Dibble is correct. It applies to our transit capital as part of the transit taxing district. We also have the ability to issue a special levy, which we actually used 2 years ago when the MVEST receipts did not meet the what our expectations were. So we have to do a one-time levy in order to make that gap. I guess that was back in 2005, but it is a special levy that we generally try not to use.
That was for operation, Mr.
That was for operations, Mr. Chair. Can I make one point here regarding the discussion that you're having? And I can appreciate that the committee is looking at a number of different funding packages and ways to move transportation here. I am here representing the administration, and I would just like to let the committee know that we do have concerns with that. I know that that has been expressed in a letter that was sent to the conferees. One of the main issues we have with this particular section is that under the Senate language, there is no specific language that would state where that additional, it would be $7.5 million, which would be accounted be the 5.3 plus an additional 2.2 to make up that CMAQ grant that Senator Dibble talked about. So in our budget, we wouldn't see, or in this budget, it also doesn't show where that additional money would come from if those new funding sources are not made available. If you were to do something like the Joint Powers Board that dealt with the half-cent sales tax, even though I would guess that the committee would probably point that group in the direction of funding that, there is no language that states this here, so there wouldn't be anything that would basically tell them to do that. So we would prefer that you'd see some language like that, but more than anything, we have used this 50% share for operating. That precedent was set back in 2003. That is the way that the governor is pursuing North Star, the Central Corridor. When we are making our federal grant applications for these projects, we are saying to the federal government that that's how we plan to pay for the capital and how we plan to pay for the operating. So this is inconsistent with how we have been filing those applications, and I just wanted to state that, and I'm sure it's not a surprise to anybody that I'm up here saying that, but I appreciate the opportunity to address that. Well, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chetman, I appreciate you coming to the table and giving us that little bit of insight. But, you know, the legislature set that policy back in 03, and I think that, you know, we've kind of looked at it, seen how it's worked, and we're ready to change it. So, you know, I don't believe that this is going to disrupt any of the current projects that you have in the pipeline. I think, you know, there's probably going to be some paperwork that's going to have to be shuffled around. But at the bottom line, that that index that the feds look at, you know, and I made this statement yesterday, and I think it's known from coast to coast that it was revisited here a couple of years ago to shut down transit all across the nation, because there was more requests coming in, and this is exactly what Representative Oberstar said. There were hundreds of millions of dollars of requests coming in and a very small pot of money to fill it up with. So they figured if they would narrow the scope on the CEI, that it would automatically narrow that host, you know, the number of projects that would be able to meet it. Now, I know you're going to have to rearrange some things to make, you know, your paperwork work. But at the bottom line, you know, talking with those people out in Washington, they want transit projects brought forward that are well-funded. And that's what this half-cent sales tax is in this bill. And as long as that's well-funded and you can fix the paperwork a little bit, they're not. That's not going to blow any of our projects out of the water. If you hear something different between the time from today till we close up this bill, we'd be very interested in hearing about it. But make sure you bring it in letter form. And, you know, if Mr. Bell could put his name on it, that'd be great. And then we will rework a little bit of this. But I think the Senate's got the, I think we have the higher ground here.
Mr. Chair and members, obviously, Senator Murphy, I respect your opinions, and we'll just have to work this one out.
Mm-hmm.
Any further discussion? Representative Hart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Where does the rest of the I don't know what's the total budget? Not 10-6, but it's...
Probably want to stay.
Sure.
Would you repeat your question?
Well, we're putting in 5.3 a year here. So I'm asking what the budget is for operations for the Hiawatha Light Rail. And if this is not enough, where are we going to get the balance of it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is on the come. We're waiting for the amendment.
Right.
Senator Murphy, you went
for it. Well, Mr. Chairman, both of our bills, we raise a substantial amount of money. And Representative Earhart, you know as well as I do that there's a couple of those places where the money's coming from, tab fees, things like that, MBEST, in regards to the MBEST, it's 60-40 split, but there's always money inside that 40 or inside the tab fees that we can massage around. Besides that, you guys got some one-time money in the bill that we don't have, and we've got that lease tax vehicles, Senator Bonoff's idea, not the governor's idea, that was Senator Bonoff's idea, by the way. And she brought that forward a couple years ago, and then the governor adopted the Senate's position on that. So, just so we're clear for the tape. But, you know, that money can be moved around to make sure that the Met Council needs to operate the transit system here is fully funded. It's clearly not the intention, I believe, of either body of leaving the Met Council or the MnDOT in regards to transit light. We all want to put money in there.
Could you answer Representative Earhart's question?
Sure. Mr. Chair and members, the operating costs for the Hiawatha Light Rail Line are about $21 million a year, and that is paid for through currently the 50% mm-hmm. share of operating subsidy we get from Hennepin County through the state. And then also, previous to this year, it was through that CMAQ grant. That is going away. That's why you see an additional, why I'm saying the 5.3 here that's reflected here. We were going to cover that with MBEST, but that is how we have it in our budget proposal, and that's not being discussed right here, so it's not reflected in the documents before you.
Well,
Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. Chairman, then you forgot to talk about the ridership, the little money you got to throw in the dish when you get on.
Yep.
How much is that?
Oh, thank you. Mr. Chair, members, we are actually receiving about $7.7 million per year in fares.
Okay.
And we're very proud of the Hiawatha line, just so you know. And Senator Murphy, I know you said earlier that you thought that this 50% share was potentially to discourage transit. I think the council has worked very hard in order to make sure the Hiawatha Light Rail Line was a success. We're working extremely hard to make sure that the Central Corridor Line will be a success. I know there's lots of hurdles that we've gone through at the legislature and at the council on this, but we are by no means discouraged and are aggressively pursuing, you know, the Central Corridor, and we're going to be updating our 2020 transit plan this summer, and we don't, I guess I have to disagree with you on that. I think that that there's been no discouragement, and actually we're really moving it forward.
Senator Murphy. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Shetman, maybe you didn't quite understand what I was saying. Maybe I didn't make myself clear enough. But let's see how I can say this crystal clearly. Before the last election, there was, you know, the House and the Senate, and you had one body that wanted transit, and you had the other body that didn't want transit. These are the folks I was talking about over here. I wasn't talking about the Met Council, because I know that Mr. Bell and the council have been supporters of transit. Have I agreed with everything that the Met Council has done? No, but you guys don't agree with everything that we do, so that's, you know, that's fair. But I don't think that anybody, either in the House or the Senate, has ever accused the Met Council of trying to, you know, trying to throw wet cloth on transit operations in the metropolitan area. Now, there's areas that we disagree on. You know, for example, I believe the concourse level of the Union Depot is the appropriate terminus for most of the rail projects in the metropolitan area. Now, I know that because of fiscal constraints, the Met Council probably has a different view. But we're both trying to build the same train, I do believe.
Mr. Chair and members, you are absolutely correct. We are both working very hard to make sure that the Central Corridor becomes a reality. I am not, I don't want to argue whether it's the Union Depot or the concourse or where the terminus should be, because the council has a corridor management committee that is put in place to make those decisions. And I know that the concourse and the streetscaping and the tunnel at the university are all going to be discussed. What we're saying is that that should take place during preliminary engineering, and we would rather it not be legislated. And the other thing is that we are looking to get that bonding for that project by next year, by the end of next year, and we're going to be coming to the legislature, you know, asking for money to wrap that up. And at that point, I think that there'll be plenty of time for the legislature between today and whenever we make that request to go to final design to make sure that everybody is satisfied with that. But I think that you hit the nail on the head when you said that we are both working very hard to make sure that that happens. And we, the council, are happy to have partners like you to do that.
I think we're going far.
I know we are.
Representative Hartman.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we should vote on Senator Dibble's policy language. And when we get our target and we have to start putting dollar amounts in areas, we'll definitely all of us be cognizant of the fact that we want to make sure that Metropolitan Council has enough money to operate the Hiawatha. And there's a number of different places in the bill we can worry about that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's important also to note that those corridors that Mr. Chair has referred to and that we've all talked about, a lot of the funding for those aren't in this bill, but in fact are in the bonding bill. Oh. And so I am raising that because I'm very concerned about whether or not that bonding bill is going to go forward. And if that bonding bill doesn't go forward, okay, then...
I think you knew it.
Yeah.
It was just vetoed.
Oh, it was just vetoed?
The bonding.
The entire bonding package was
vetoed.
Yeah,
vetoed 5-1-2007.
So that's why I raised that, Mr. Chair. And I think it sheds a different light on our work, because there's so much of our work that, in fact, we all were feeling pretty positive about, thinking that these projects were on the drawing board, and, you know, certainly we weren't asking them all to be built, but feeling at least like those experts in the field would begin to study and to determine what was important, what was feasible, and so this is disappointing and a real setback to where we are, and I don't know about that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can we get MnDOT up here? I got a couple questions I need to ask him.
To this question? To this? Could we clean
up? Okay, let's vote on this then.
Yeah. If we could vote on it. We have a motion, I think, by Senator Dibble and reinforced by Representative Hortman to take the Senate language on this.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just on R65, the R6712, 57.23, and we'll leave the appropriation aside.
Mm-hmm. We have to take the...
Just that one right there. We're going to leave the other one open for right now until we get a target so that we can clean up the money issue there.
All the members understand which one we're talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any further questions, discussion? If not, all in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Contrary, the motion's passed. Now, Senator Murphy, we're going to take a slight deviation, I presume.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're going to go right to right field right away.
Did you call for...
Representative Earhart, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Representative Earhart, if you could pass that over here before I open up my yap, I want to make sure I know what I'm yapping about. Thank you.
This is that point where they usually say a nervous Twitter went through the crowd.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you know, everything's all fun and games until somebody gets their eye poked out, and the governor just poked out my eye by vetoing this bill. As a matter of fact, I think he poked the eye out on every legislator around the table, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, because that bonding bill, not only was it going to provide economic opportunity for a lot of people who are out of work, but it was also going to provide a lot of projects all across the state that the people that elected us asked us for. And, you know, for the governor to arbitrarily veto the whole bill because he says it spends four times more than what he had anticipated is simply a tragedy. The governor had many other options. A couple of them he didn't even bother with was like talk to the chairs of the committee, bonding committee, and sit down and have an honest and legitimate discussion on what the needs of the state are. Senator Bonoff has a couple provisions in that bonding bill that went away. I know I had one. It wasn't a very big thing. It was the Lake Zumbro deal. It was for a couple $100,000. But that's not why I'm so mad. I'm so mad that you would veto a whole bill. Now, the governor has the opportunity to do line item vetoes in a bonding bill. If there were projects in there that he didn't like, he should have just vetoed those individual projects and got to the number that he wanted to. But he chose to veto everything. I think that is a clear indication that this governor wants the train wreck at the end of session. He wants the legislature to fail and he wants to blame us for it. Here we put a bonding bill on his desk and he didn't even bother, I bet he didn't even bother to read every provision in it. He just plain vetoed it. Now, I'm sure that's exactly what he's going to do with our work product, regardless of what it looks like. I think we could probably package up his bill right now and send it over to him and he'd veto it. I'm fairly frustrated and the governor has been trying to blame the legislature on a lot of things. But the governor's the one that's sitting in his corner office and not talking to anybody, period. Now, I've had several discussions with a couple of his staff people. I've had several discussions with Republican members in our body. Everybody wants a transportation bill, except the governor. Except the governor. Because the governor is unwilling to compromise. His letter the other day said it. He stated clearly in that letter to us that he was going to veto anything that had any increase in real money in it, whether it was license tab fees, metropolitan sales tax, gas tax, an index, whatever it was, he was going to veto it. Now, the Senate has a plan together to provide bonding, and we can do it at the governor's level, but it has an automatic trigger mechanism on it that pays for itself. Now, members, I think we ought to seriously consider putting everything on that one piece of legislation and sending it over to them. Governor, you want bonding? If you want bonding at the level that he wants bonding, that's a 7.5 cent gas tax increase, period. So if he wants it, let's be upfront with people. It's a gas tax increase. Right now, our gas tax at 20 cents is buying about 13 cents worth of real product. Because of inflation, it's declined. So now what the governor wants to do is throw more money on bonding so that the gas tax has to pay for it. His will drive down the money that we've got for operations between 5 and 7 cents. On the 20 cents that our taxpayers pay at the dollar, there's only going to be 5 to 7 cents left over to do maintenance on our highways. I think that that's an abomination. But that's the governor's plan. I think we've got a better way, and I think that because of that veto, I think that we ought to move forward, pass our legislation, and if we can't gain the votes for override, Mr. Chairman, I think we just keep the lights on over the department. And I'm sorry, Mr. Shittman, but that means a huge cut to the Met Council. It means that there's a lot of projects in my district that are going to go unfunded, a lot of projects all across the state that are going to go unfunded. But if the governor wants to play these childish games, then I think that he's going to get what he's asking for. Now, folks, here's what makes me mad about down in my district. This is the manual that we all get from our own districts. This is District 6. I want to show you two little maps here, okay? And I think that they're both probably going to catch your eye if I can find them in this.
Chairman, Senator Murphy's looking for this. I would just like to comment. We were going through this, and this would have been the discussion for the balance in the meeting. We are already in it. And we were going to discuss just the approach we would take in the event that there would be a veto, or what approach we should take with this, putting a bill together. So Senator Murphy's maybe not too far in line, but he's a little bit ahead of the agenda.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, nobody's ever really accused me of being in front of the ball too often, so I'll take that as a compliment. Members, this is what you call the RIDE Index. This is for Southeastern Minnesota District 6. And red is bad. That means the roads are in terrible condition. Yellow means that, you know, they're not so bad, but you can't drink a cup of coffee when you're going down the road because it ends up in your lap. Green means that it's smooth enough that you can have that cup of coffee. All right? Everybody can kind of see that. You can kind of see that there's some red lines up there. There's some yellow lines up there. Okay, here's the life expectancy on those same roads. The red means that within 3 years, you're going to have to completely rebuild those roads. District 6 is the worst one out there because we took all the money to build the Rock 52 project, and the maintenance was deferred on all these roads. Now, if the House members can see that, almost 80% of the lane miles in my district are in that they're going to need to be repaired, completely repaired, within 3 years. Now, this is what we've got at stake. Now, my constituents are pleading with us to pass something that works. Now, on these roads that I just held up, the ones with all the red lines on it, the governor's plan isn't even going to get, it might get one or two of them, all right? The Senate plan and the House plan provide enough money that those red lines are going to go away, and they'll go away in 5 years. That's the difference that we're talking about. We had a couple charts that Amanda put together here the other day that shows exactly what the governor's bill does. It builds about 3 complete projects in greater Minnesota. The Senate plan builds over 20. In the metropolitan area, the numbers are the same. So what are we going to do? What is it that we really want to do? Do we want to sit around and kick each other in the shins all day long? or governor, I'm pleading with you, do you want to come down here and tell us exactly what it is that you want? We can reach a compromise on this if he's reasonable. He's not reasonable right now.
Thank you, Senator Murphy. Actually, this, while it may not appear that, that was one of the subjects that we were going to have for discussion, and I think it's probably coming to a head quicker than we thought. We, when I say we, I think collectively, we quite don't know what kind of bill we should send to the governor. It, apparently, from everyone, we hear the threat of a veto, and I think, again, as legislators, we have a responsibility to send a bill. We can send a bill that we think that he could sign, but apparently it's going to be vetoed if it has a gas tax. So we don't have much alternative. And I, again, as Senator Murphy, and maybe wrongly or rightly, we have taken the position that if the bill is vetoed, we are going to send him a lights-on bill with no bonding, which just allows the department to operate with basically the money they have. And the difficulty with that, as pointed out by Senator Murphy, there's nothing in it for transit, for Metro Transit. And that's where we have a real problem, because right now Metro Transit is, and also Rural Transit, has money in a supplemental budget. And this is kind of the issue that all of us collectively are going to have to address, which way we're going to go. And we're going to have to do that in the next few days. But it just appear based on the nature of what we see is happening. And frankly, that was one of the bills we didn't want to rush the transportation bill in, because I think it amounted to everyone saying he's going to veto everything, that the governor just about forced to veto everything every time we turn around. And we didn't want our transportation bill to be number one, for one thing. We'd like to be number one in a lot of things, but not number one to veto. We still would be hopeful that the governor would reconcile and take a look at some of these things. But, again, I think, unless we don't understand it, there is not any monies available to fund highways specifically other than the gas tax, and there's certainly no money to fund transit other than something other than the gasoline or motor vehicle license. And so we're going to have to make a decision, and definitely within the next week or 10 days, at least before the 21st of May, we're going to have to send a bill over there for the governor to take a look at. Representative Morrill, you had a question?
Well, more of a comment to follow up on Senator Murphy. But Senator Murphy, you mentioned a number of corridor projects that just went down. I want to also mention the MnDOT building in Mankato, a 45-year-old building. It's been proposed for 15 years now that this project be done. There's Governor Pawlenty's had it in his own proposals year after year, but apparently this project still should be done. MnDOT headquarters dies with transportation, though. I wish I could say this is this year's story. But this is from the archives. As I looked at this, this building in 2002, the cost members was going to be $14 million under then-Governor Ventura's proposal. In 2004, it went to $15.7 million to replace this building. In 2006, in Governor Pawlenty's proposal, it went to $18.2 million. And right now, it's about $20.6 million. So the cost is rising fast. In fact, faster, I think, than the rate of inflation. I don't know what an emergency is. I don't think an emergency is required under bonding, but under either scenario, I find it hard to justify eliminating this bill. You were talking about what are we going to do about transportation, Senator Murphy. Senator Murphy, when we initiated the 20-cent gas tax to today, from that period, the gas tax has stayed flat. According to MnDOT's cost index, the cost of construction has doubled. So we're trying to do twice. We have to have twice as much money just to keep up with construction costs. But we have nothing. I don't know where we're going to go from here, Senator Murphy. I think you're right. I don't want to know if the lights are going to be on or if the lights are going to be flickering.
Well, Mr.
Representative Hortman. Yes. Do you have a comment?
Did you want to respond to Representative Morrison?
Well, did you yield to Senator Murphy?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Representative Morrow, you know, sometimes my Irish gets up a little bit, so if I said anything to offend anybody, I do apologize, but I tell you, that is a pure lack of leadership, and you bring it right to the forefront. I mean, this project, the size continues to grow, millions of dollars of extra cost, because we've been inactive. I mean, Governor Ventura wanted it. I've been on the Transportation Committee for 15 years, and maybe that's why my hair is not Well, it's falling out, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah,
but, you know, and it's been one frustration after another. We haven't been able to do the things that I think our constituents want us to do. Nobody wants to pay more gas tax. Nobody wants to pay a wheelage tax. Nobody wants to pay this, that, or the other. But you know what? These taxes are the sins that hold us all together. And transportation is the one thing that holds our state together. We got a good state. But I tell you what, you know, I live in a border community. I can go from my house into what my friends at work call God's country, go across that little creek called the Mississippi, and I can go over there on any given day into a state that has a gas tax that's about 11 cents more than ours. And I can see gas prices fluctuate between 25 cents more than they are in Red Wing, and sometimes only 3 cents more than they are. So this issue about, boy, if you put a new gas tax on, you're going to drive people, you know, whatever, is a bunch of hooyah. It's hooyah. It's hooyah. But the, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, but I'm on a roll. But I also can go into God's country and drive around on their roads, and you know what? Their township roads are even blacktop. Some of their township roads have curb and gutter. I mean, some of our township roads are dirt roads. Is that right, Mr. Fricky? Well, we've got township roads that are dirt roads. We've got county roads that are so bad in my own district that they are dirt roads. Because the concrete is now dust. We got places in Senator Sparks' district, and this is on a state road, where the sheriff is writing tickets because people are driving on the shoulder of the road because it's smoother and safer than driving down the middle of the road. I could go on about the fatalities in Greater Minnesota, the loss of economic opportunity in the metropolitan area. I just think it's time for the governor to get serious and do his job. So, Governor, if you're out there and you're listening, and you're probably not, but Ms. Parker, if somebody could carry him the message that we're waiting for the governor to come and talk to us and tell us, talk to us. Tell us what it is that he expects. If he doesn't want a gas tax increase, how do we fix our roads? Because his bill doesn't do it.
I think, too, another thing in the capital investment bill was the fixing up the MnDOT building, wasn't it? I believe that's correct, too. So that's a safety hazard, really. Mm-hmm. Representative Hortman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Murphy, I'm in a very different place with you with regard to the governor. I haven't worried at all through the entire session what he would think of this bill. I have thought about what do we need to get 90 votes in the House. And what do we need to get 45 votes in the Senate? Because the governor exited the conversation about transportation funding in the second week of December when he said that he would not sign a gas tax. And he knows that the legislature is in favor of pay-as-you-go funding. And so I think given what happened in the election and the MVEST amendment got 220,000 more votes than the governor, and the governor himself has taken himself out of the conversation. He's not negotiating with us. He's not saying, I'll give on this if you give on that. He's out of the picture. And so I think we don't really have to worry about that one step where it goes over to the governor's mansion and he vetoes it. Really the steps I think we have to focus on is what we're doing in these buildings and what happens in these buildings after he's done with his veto. And I think that we will have a bill that more than 45 members of the Senate will really like to vote for and that more than 90 members of the House will vote for. And I think that that's the right thing to do, and that's the alternative we have. To exercise our leadership to get something done for Minnesota. And I think we can do it.
Well, Representative Earhart, you had a question or comment?
I was just going to say, I think we have to disregard a non-conversation, a one-way conversation, and put the best bill we can forward to solve as much of the problem as we can. And if he vetoes it, then we'll have to come back and do maybe what you're suggesting. Why should we bargain with a 3 cent or a 5 cent gas tax? We need more than 10, but 10 seems like a reasonable, and the tab fees and the other things we've got, let's move forward with it. And I think that I heard Senator Barnoff talking on the Almanac the other night, and you said, what was that you said about?
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, I said, why are we talking about taxes? We ought to be talking about what do we need to do to move Minnesota forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've had some comment from the, and again, this is not something that we didn't expect. We won it because we wouldn't know how to put a bill together. And we've had some comment from some representatives and Senator Murphy. How about some other senators? You care to express what you think we should do or how we should approach it? Senator Seaman.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm just trying to think of a way we can get some of those bonding provisions into our bill. I just think I agree with what Representative Portman said, that the governor has not really been engaged in this debate, so we need to look for a plan that can be overridden. And I think that, quite honestly, I wouldn't dare speak for the governor, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's what he wants too. He can stick by his pledge to what he considers to not his pledge to not raise taxes, and if the legislature overrides his veto, then the roads improve and Minnesotans are happy because they get the investments that they want. And so really I just think we have to keep our eye on the prize, which is finding a compromise among members of the legislature to what most members can agree to for an override.
Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I echo Senator Stevens' comments and the comments that I've heard. And with regard to what Representative Earhart said about we know a nickel's not going to do it, why not just go 10 cents? I think while I support the sentiment, I think in the, with the end goal in mind being truly getting strong support in both houses, that probably isn't realistic. But I think that we can put together a moderate bill that can generate enthusiasm and excitement about where we are going as a state, and I'm hopeful that legislators will be on board with that.
Senator Dibble.
Are we just going down the line here? funny thing is I agree with Senator Earhart, or Representative Earhart, and Senator Bonhoff here. I guess that's what it means to be a politician here. I confess that I'm a little stumped by the attitude and demeanor of the governor. I listened to him on the radio this morning. He seemed to be pretty belligerent and pretty uninterested in really working meaningfully with the legislature. And I don't understand that, because at the end of the day, we all came into the session knowing exactly what the message was that the voters sent us, which was the rancor and the acrimony is past. The politics of anger and division and splitting up Minnesota and pitting Minnesotans against each other geographically or ethnically or on any number of ways. People are sick of it, and people are wanting to come together and solve problems. I think you see that attitude changing across the entire country. People are sick of sharp, hardline, partisan shout fests. They're sick of it. And we came in with singing all kinds of campfire songs together. And I'm sad that the governor simply put a stop to all that. And he's throwing down the gauntlet, and he's wanting to return to those politics. And clearly he's thrown the bait out there. We're probably rising to it a little bit here today. But that's fine, because that letter, and I hope that letter gets published in the paper. I hope every word of it is published in the paper. People will see the kind of attitude that the governor has. He's clearly interested in returning to division, to acrimony, pitting parts of Minnesota against each other, pitting the executive against the legislative. The folks who know what the temperament of the electorate is the best are folks who knock on doors who run those local campaigns, who are out there on the front lines, in the trenches, and those are folks who run for the legislature. And we're, you know, and we saw how folks responded to the message about transportation and the MVEST vote, and we saw how they responded to that message in terms of our campaigns. We saw who got elected, and we saw who lost their elections. And we saw what the turnout was like in the town hall meetings that we had as a transit subcommittee. So, you know, sadly, the governor's behind the times. I think we're responding to where the people are. I think we just need to keep our eye on the prize and put together a good package. I think the rest of our colleagues in both chambers will respond to that. And hopefully, by hook or by crook, the governor and his agencies will respond to that.
Thank you. Senator Carlson, we just about have everyone. Yeah.
Just about everyone. One has said everything that needs to be said, but I guess I can add one additional thing that none of you can say. The governor is my constituent out in Eagan, and I've not heard from him, but that's not a surprise. But what Senator Dibble said is the people that went door to door, we know what the people have said to us, and that's what they told me. They want their roads fixed. They do want, I mean, we talked about taxes, we talk about a lot of things, but I think overall what I did hear is people are willing to invest in the state. They're not, I mean, there's always someone who wants something for nothing. There's the something for nothing crowd, and they will always be there. But people do want investment. And when I look at this part of the infrastructure investment, I mean, we have education and other things that are going to be talked about yet, but investment in the ability to move goods and services, the investment to get across the river, because I've always put a river between where I live and work, and I've had to move across that river every day for many, many years, and people are tired of it. They do want to get them. In fact, now what we have is it's gone different from being crowded to being deteriorated. We have concrete pieces on the side of the road all the way from Eagan to downtown St. Paul. And so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think Representative Hortman has it perfect, and that is that I don't know that I did think that we were going to be able to do anything but get a bill that probably has to have an override. So I'm for getting as much done as we can, and I think we have, you know, there's a lot of lobbyists here, and what we've talked about a lot of times with the lobbyists is get something done. What we've talked about to our county people, we talked about it to these action groups like the I-35W Solutions Alliance. All of those people are waiting for us to get something done, and it's investment. It's my money. It's their money, but it's also their bridge and their road. So what we have to do is buy a bridge and buy a road for them. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. I think we got a pretty good feel that, we kind of all had that feel that we can put something together that if he vetoes it, we can probably override. And I think that's one. I think it behooves us to put something reasonable together, and I think we shot at that. We tried it. And we may try it again, but at least we're going to get the feel of it. We have a couple of gentlemen, happens to be gentlemen left, I could say gentlemen, because Representative Hortman did speak. We pretty much get a consensus, and I think the one thing we're going to do, we won't have a meeting tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We won't have a conference committee because we don't have a target, but I think we'll have to get our I'll get her act together. I do know I have you left.
Okay.
I expect you're going to clean up and do a good job of it. Basically, least we do have the tenure of what's in the minds of the conferees, and certainly Senator Murphy and I will get our heads together and we'll do what we think is right with the group, and we'll be meeting that way. But I think we can consider we won't have a meeting tomorrow. We won't have a conference committee tomorrow. Representative Hornstein.
Just very briefly, thank you, Mr. Chair.
It doesn't have to be brief. We still
people have been very very articulate, and I agree with all the comments that have been made. My thought, though, is that, you know, we have a fairly moderate bill before us. I'm reminded of, you know, Representative Hortman's comments on the floor that, you know, really it should be 14 cents. And then we've had some data that about local bridges and other things that my colleague on my right, Representative Morrow, has pointed out to me. And, you know, the gas tax meets only part of the need. Very early in the session, Ms. Lovro came to the committee, passed out a very good piece. Even 10 cents only meets part of the need. The metro sales tax only partially meets the tremendous need that is out there. So let's fiddle with this. Let's you know, smooth out some of the rough edges. But I think we don't have to do too much differently than we've already done, than we've put the hard work in all session long. This is a good, solid, moderate piece of legislation that makes important strides towards addressing our roads and transit need. But even then, it doesn't get us all the way where we need to be. And so, you know, the governor has thrown down the gauntlet. That's very clear. I held out, you know, hope really up until recently that we were going to have some serious negotiations, some bargaining as equals, trying to move the state forward for the good of the state. But it's very clear in the last few days that that's not going to happen. So let's stay the course. Let's get a good bill out to our colleagues, you know, let's move forward from there. But we have a good, pretty moderate piece of legislation before us right now.
Unless there are any further discussions or comment, I think we can practically adjourn the meeting. I don't think we'll take on the other issues. Did someone?
Senator, I had a little correction to make on my previous motion. I need to change a date on line R65. Line 57.22, that's supposed to be, I think it's just a typo, it's supposed to be January 1st, 2008, not 2009. So can I make that
agreeable, technical?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everyone see it? Do you have it, Mr. Burris and yeah. Mr. Berbazowski?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. There's no other business to come before the House. Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that on page R65, line 22, to change the 9 to an 8.
Everyone see that? Any discussion? Not all in favor, say aye.
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 Contrary? The motion is adopted. Unless there any further business to come before the committee? The meeting's adjourned, and we'll announce the next meeting prior to that. Probably the end Thursday.